Welcome to the Story Night podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Holmes. Today, we offer an exclusive podcast tease for parental guidance. Stories of direction and misdirection from Mom and Dad, held on May 30th. To preview the theme, we present Kate Riley, an instructor for the Story Studio, our new workshop series held on the third Monday of every month at Colmar Coffee House. In her story, Kate gains life lessons as the daughter of a preacher man.
Growing up a PK wasn't an easy thing by any means. And for those of you who have no idea what a PK is, well, it stands for preacher's kid. Growing up a PK, people expect you to behave in certain ways, and certainly to show up for church every Sunday, smiling. Yes, I was the cute little daughter of a well-known Episcopalian priest who happened to become quite influential throughout his career. I wish I had something more to say about this, as in having something to do with his growing success, but I really don't. You see, most of my childhood was spent doing things either to support my own needs or perhaps to rebel against being born a PK. I suppose I was determined from a very young age to prove to the world that I was no Holy Moses. So I took on dares more readily, beaming internally, whether or not I pulled them off or not, got caught or didn't get caught. I was also a curious child, and so I began with a little background. At age five, my parents enrolled me in kindergarten at the public school down the street from where we lived. Middle-class neighborhood, Marin County, California. Get the picture? Every day, for half an hour, we were expected to take naps. You know, choose a mat and spread our little bodies across them, keep to ourselves, and keep quiet. Well, one day, I saw my classmate, Roger, get up and walk towards the little boy's room. I was bored and decided to go to the little girl's room, where I climbed up on the back of the toilet seat and peered over the wall that divided the two bathrooms. That's when I saw Roger peeing. He ended up telling on me, and my parents were notified. I think this was the first time I ever got caught doing something bad, thus the need for some parental guidance. I'm not sure exactly what was said. I can only imagine my parents laughing over cocktails later that evening. As I got older, however, things began to escalate. I started doing things to prove to the world that I really wasn't a goody two-shoe. My father, the Episcopalian priest, was becoming more and more anxious about one daughter in particular, moi. It seems every time I got caught doing something, my father would become agitated and start pacing around the house. At some point, when he was good and ready, he would approach me, raise his right hand and point that index finger of his straight into the air, shake his head, and proclaim, "You know, I did things like this, but I didn't get caught." And then he would shake his head some more. My father was a very good-looking man, but if he had jowls and his head was shaped differently, he would have resembled an indignant Richard Nixon, furiously frustrated. At times, it would end there. Other times, he might walk away adding, "Good God!" Now, you might be curious about what Mom would be doing through all this. My mom was the quiet type, the 50s mom, endearing, loving, highly intuitive, and yes, the preacher's wife. I remember her spending hours on creating trays and trays of appetizers. My parents entertained a lot, and I suppose this might be where I learned to host my own parties, but more about this later. I also remember sitting next to her in the church pew, always the front pew. Every week, hundreds of people would parade past us en route to the altar, where my dad would be doling out the body and blood of Christ. My mother smiled, and I think for the most part, enjoyed her role. But more than anything, I believe she enjoyed being a mom. Recently, she shared with me how she had waited all her life to have children. And then, after marrying my father, how she had to wait 3 years until he finished seminary school. She also enjoyed teaching and founded a Montessori school. She was always great with kids, and despite my own ingenious plans of seeking close friends and alibis, she was always there, believing every child unique and special and deserving of love. She loved me regardless of my indifferent ways of self-expression and adventure-seeking activities. Maybe she secretly supported me. I don't know. Fast forward to junior high. Now, this is a difficult time for most kids. What made life more complicated was that our family relocated from Marin County to Twin Falls, Idaho. Can you imagine the shock? I'm entering junior high. I wanted friends, lots of them. So I did things to make friends. One advantage of being a PK, I had access to the key to just about everything in the church. The Coke machine, the sacristy, and yes, the keys to the church car. No one at the time had a car, so I remedied that by borrowing the church car, but ended up totaling it before I had the chance to pick up any of my friends. It wasn't my fault, really, but my father was as upset as I have ever seen him. This was when he began expressing to me his concern over his reputation. It went from, "You know, I did things like this, but I didn't get caught," to, "What are you thinking? I have a reputation at stake here, and you're ruining it. Don't you realize this?" But this was my chance. I could make friends, lots of friends. Was I concerned about my father's reputation? No. I mean, I'm 14 years old. I had my own reputation to think about. Soon, after all the fuss over the car thing had died down, I came up with a great idea. I decided to host a private party behind the church. So I invited my friends and served port wine and communion wafers. After all, I had access to the goods. These items were kept in a little room called the sacristy. If someone didn't feel right about downing a shot or two of port, well, then I was able to offer them a Coke, orange soda, or a root beer. I had an unlimited supply of communion wafers. No worries there. So I taught my 14-year-old guests how to stack 10 communion wafers on their tongues and then wait for them to dissolve. We chased them down with cheap port. I made many friends. All this was happening in a time when my father was coming up with brilliant ideas of his own, ideas that some people in the congregation were adamantly opposed to. Perhaps I was having an influence on the man after all. Soon, after I got kicked out of Sunday school permanently, my dad erected a basketball hoop out behind the parish hall. Much to the dismay of some of the parishioners, he kept it there for kids like me. After 20 years of marriage, my parents divorced, and although both went their separate ways, they held a special place in their hearts for each other. Through this act alone, they taught me about love. So it was while preparing for this podcast that I began to realize how much my parents gave me in unspoken ways, guiding me, consciously or unconsciously, through their actions. I watched my parents. They were strong, sensitive, and vulnerable, and they never pretended, not once. I learned a great deal from them as parents and as people. My father marched with Martin Luther King in Birmingham, Alabama. He advocated for Planned Parenthood. He stood behind any gay or lesbian and fought for their rights. He was proactive in getting women ordained by the priesthood. He invited African Americans into his parish in Palm Beach, Florida, and he didn't let a small pipe bomb planted in the back of his car stop him. He fought for causes he truly believed in. When I wasn't being a challenging daughter, I vividly recall him teaching me how to properly mow a yard and what order you should do things, the correct way to wash windows, and how to bait a hook. He taught me the joy of smiling into a baby's eyes and what it meant to offer help to the elderly and other random acts of kindness. My mom, on the other hand, taught me the gift of intuition. She taught me about surrender, about letting go, trusting the inner compass, and about simple pleasures of life, how to plant seeds of intention, and how to nourish them along all the way. She still says, "Kate, follow your heart, for your heart will never fail you," and how ultimately it's really all about love. Speaking about love, both my parents taught me about matters of the heart, universal and timeless in nature. And as a collective family, this just might be the elixir we're all seeking. So whether we guide our children, our neighbors, our society, our world, it's important we learn how to drop into our hearts and listen. It is my greatest hope that some of the wisdom and magic of my parents has been carried down through me to my 19-year-old son. As a parent, I was as mindful as I could be. I did the best I could, and I have no regrets. But I must thank my parents for the influence and patience they had on me during all those formative years and beyond, and for always, yes, always, loving me.
Thanks, Kate, and thank you for listening. We'll see you at the next Story Night, held the last Monday of every month at the Lennon Building. We've recently announced our summer themes, showcasing the raw power of the elements, with air, stories of being blown away in June, water, stories of going with or against the flow in July, and fire, stories of getting burned in August. Submit now to become a featured storyteller for an upcoming theme by emailing the beginning, middle, and end of your story to storystorynight@live.com. You'll find all the submission details at storystorynight.org under the Featured Storytellers tab. Story Night is brought to you by presenting partner the Boise State Story Initiative, venue partner the Lennon Building, design partner, Neighborhood All-Stars, and our broadcast partner, Boise State Public Radio. Please donate now at radio.boisestate.edu. Our Story Night theme and podcast production are by Dan Costello. Hear more at hearcostello.com. Please join us next week for Storied Memories from Parental Guidance. Learn more at storystorynight.org.